Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Grant and Danny on the Fan, the exclusive sponsor of our shows, the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, help you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you so that they can get you a discount. kmlawyers.com. We are fired up to go to the hotline right now. Welcome on to the show, Austin Eckler, Commanders tailback and the team's leading receiver through two games. Austin, welcome back on G&D. How you been, man?
I've been doing well. Thanks for having me back on.
You got it. As always, every single Tuesday, all season long, Austin will be with us right here at 5 o'clock on the Fan. So there's so much to get into, but I guess we could start right at the beginning of the game with a 98-yard house call.
House call.
New kickoff rule. Eckler's back there as a surprise on the week one first return. And it took you all of 2 weeks to break one for a touchdown, and then it came back via penalty. So let's just start with what you saw as you approached that pile of bodies in the new kickoff.
I know. What an epic way to start out the season, huh? At the home opener. I was like, there's no way that this is starting it out like this. But I guess here we go. So, I mean, the boys blocked it up. I really didn't have to do anything too crazy. That's the beauty of having great blocking. But unfortunately, someone blocked a little too good and obviously got the holding call and brought it back. But still a good way to bring some energy to the home opener. So it couldn't have been any more epic.
When did you realize and how did you find out eventually there was a flag down? Did someone yell at you? Because you guys were celebrating in the end zone for a minute first.
Yeah, I mean, so we still celebrate it because we don't know what the flag is, right? So we're going to go out there and do our thing as far as like, yeah, you know, get everyone pumped up because not often you see, you know, one to the house. And so especially with me back there, I haven't returned kickoffs since my rookie year. So, yeah, I was definitely disappointed to realize there was a holding call. But, hey, we still got the most out of the energy that we could.
All right, you're such a nice guy. I would wonder if, like, if I'm you, I might do something post-game because obviously you guys got the win and it's water under the bridge. But you could just go stand next to the Nick Buller's locker, just kind of stare at him. Just for an extended few seconds and just, no, I'm just kidding, man. Good game. You know what I mean? Like, you ever do stuff like that, those kind of hijinks to break the tension?
He immediately came to me and apologized, and so I was appreciative. I didn't even know who got the holding call, but I was appreciative of that. He owned up to his mistake and let me know it wouldn't happen again, so. We're straight. We're straight over the.
So there's no like bottle of wine or anything, yeah. That, like kangaroo court style after a play like that comes back.
Oh no, I think you know what, we're teammates. We get it. Stuff happens. You know, we'll pat each other on the back and we'll get on to the next one. We'll have more opportunities.
How do you like the new kickoff so far? It's kind of weird to ask after you break one. I'm sure you like it a lot more now, but I mean seriously though, it looks funny.
It's different.
What do you think?
It's different. That's for sure. I think it definitely takes out the big collisions of the initial kind of stopping of a body on kickoff return for those guys. So I think for as far as the concept and why they put it in, I think that works. I mean, it's still a violent play. It's still football and people running full speed at each other. So you never take that out of it. So it just looks funny, but I think it's just one of those things where everyone's got to kind of get used to it. Then they'll be like, oh yeah, this is how we do it. So I think it's here to stay. And I think it's good.
Austin, how comfortable are you at this point in this offense in terms of having it be, you know, kind of second nature? You just know it intuitively at this stage. How long does it take you?
Well, what's really unique about the NFL is there's a base kind of that we have as an offense, but then you start to game plan for every single opponent, right? And you have like a new offense somewhat being installed on every single week. So you'll still have some of your base plays, but then it's like, hey, here's some key plays based off of what we see with matchups, with different coverages, different philosophies from defensive coordinators that we'll try to counter. So it's always an evolving playbook. But for the most part, we know how to communicate with each other. We got to get ourselves straightened out with some of these false starts, which is easy to fix, just communication error there with the cadence and everything and being loud. So I feel comfortable, but not necessarily like it's something that I know by nature because it's always evolving, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Austin, you've done a really nice job and had some big collisions in the backfield and pass pro. And I know that's been a big part of your game because you can't be a pass catching back on the field in those situations if you're not trusted to pick up blitzers and pick up, you know, DBs coming off the edge. Take me back to when really that became a priority. I can't imagine you were doing a lot of that in college. Maybe you could correct me, but like, how did you get good at that? And for a lot of running backs, it's what separates you being in the league or not when you're down the depth chart. Like, what goes into that?
There's a lot that goes into it. It's not complicated. It's actually simple, but not easy. One of those things. It can get complicated, I should say, but it's more so, okay, you have to understand who the D coordinator is and what their philosophy is. What are they trying to do? How are they going to potentially be setting up? And then everything has to do with what is our philosophy on offense? Are we sorting? Are we on a man call? Like, what type of protection scheme do we have? Is it play action? Because all of these different plays, drop back, three-step, five-step, all these different plays, I have different types of protection rules. And so knowing what the play is, knowing what the defense is, doing some studying, marrying those together, walking through it a bunch of times during the week, that gets you to step one. Okay, now you know who to block. Second is actually going and actually doing the blocking. So if you know who to block, you can react even quicker. And the quicker you can react, the less time they have to get to full steam and run you over. And so that's kind of my philosophy is know who's blitzing right at the snap based off of my pre-snap reads and based off of demeanor and stuff like that, and then get myself in a position where I don't have to, you know, take on a full charging guy that's 40 pounds heavier than me. Then it comes down to your technique. What's your technique? Me, I'm built with leverage. You know, I'm 5'8", so I'm already probably lower than you are. So now it comes down to using proper technique, hands inside, setting a good base, and delivering a blow. So, I mean, there you go. That's how you pass block in the NFL.
All right. I'm ready to go do it.
I'll just go do that real quick.
I'm also 5'8". We have very different bodies. We have very different frames on our 5'8", I would point out, as you know, from us finally meeting in person in the locker room here the other day. Austin Eckler's with us on Grant and Danny. How much film do you watch in a week before a game?
Ooh, it's very particular as far as it's not like I'm watching games and games and games, but more so watching kind of like different linebackers, watching different kind of cut-ups of what we're expecting to see. I don't want to get bogged down watching too much film and overthinking, just seeing really the structure of their defense. And now at this point, being in 9 years, you show me the structure that I pretty much got what their defense is going to look like. And now it's just kind of studying some of their, what we call game wreckers, to kind of see how I can affect them, whether it's chipping guys on the way out, if it's a defensive lineman or edge rusher, or making sure I know if it's a linebacker, how they blitz, how they cover, like what is their strength that makes them a game wrecker. So at this point, it's really just particularly kind of looking at guys that can really affect the game in a big way.
Austin Eckler with us here on Grant and Danny. So Austin, I was thinking back to our conversation last week during the game. I think it was a reception. It could have been a run, but it was on the left sideline. And I think you went to hurdle somebody and he didn't go down maybe the way that you thought he would. And you bounced off him and were on your feet and kind of were looking around like, well, what's wrong with you, dude? Why are you down? And I'm still up. I couldn't help but think of that combo where you saying, yeah, I kind of bounce off people. It's sort of what I do. That seemed like pretty good evidence of that.
Yeah, man, that's kind of kind of been the story of Austin. Myself, it's like, hey, I can run. I'm strong, lower body, good body control, as you could see there. Yeah, so I catch the ball down the sideline. I'm running full speed at a corner. And I'm like, okay, DB probably going to go low. And so I start to gather to jump. Well, was I wrong? yeah. He also jumps, but into me. Luckily, I was in a position where I could really brace myself. And then there was a linebacker there that ended up being in the picture, too, that kind of got some aftermath of it. And they both fell down. And I mean, when you go airborne and it doesn't work, usually it's carnage and you're on the ground. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for your boy this time, I stick the landing and I'm just like in my head, like, what the heck? How did I just land that?
Yeah.
You know, I should have done some you know, UFC like celebration move because, you know, everyone was on the ground around me. That would have been cool. Or some like sumo stomp or something. Kind of missed opportunity, but next time I get a running airborne, you know, collateral damage around me, I'll make sure to hit a celebration.
So you mentioned that like a corner out there. I was going to ask you when do you go? I mean, it's all split second. You guys are going so damn fast, but when is it hurdle time? When is it shoulder time? When is it show them a little wiggle? How do you decide in that kind of split second?
It's just repetition and kind of how your philosophy of your brain works. Because some guys aren't like, oh, I'm going to wiggle. Like I had a inside zone where it was me and the linebacker one-on-one. And in my head, it's like, oh, you know, it's for sure. And it's like, get around. It's just like kind of like a reaction. Like, oh, get around. Like, mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, jab step. Like I've already been through this scenario, going through bags hundreds, thousands of times. You know, hurdle was like, oh, hey, they're going low. That one was kind of preempted. And so, yeah, usually don't do that. It doesn't end up too well. Usually it should be a reaction. If they go low, you go high. And so it's all reactionary based off of their leverage, how fast they're going, your fast you're going, your positioning, is anyone around you, and you kind of adapt to that kind of scenario with what tools you have in your toolbox. So you got to know what tools you have. You got to continue to play within the confinements of your capacity. Luckily for me, it's really kind of just being that kind of scat, like I'm really agile and not necessarily a bruiser. So if I was a bruiser, I'd run them over. That's not necessarily my game plan.
Speaking of bruisers, Austin, Brian Robinson ripped off a 40-yard and two 30-plusers this week on his way to a career-high 133. You and him both having field days. You throw Jaden into the mix. You guys ran for 215. Right now, the running game is one of the best in football already, and it just seems like an identity is being established. What did you make of how successfully you guys dominated the Giants on the ground?
Yeah, Brian Robinson is definitely a punisher. Like, he is a big back who's going to look for contact and run you over. Like, that's his philosophy. That's kind of his build. And then he's going to continue to run. It's not going to be easy to take this man down. Like, he is strong, lower body, 6'2", 225, you know, just a big running back. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that we have him, kind of that punisher type, and then we have myself, who's really a pass catcher, make you miss. Type as well. And so it's a good kind of two-headed monster that we have in the backfield. And, you know, you got to give credit to the O-line for, you know, the run game, getting it started too, because they've been doing a good job of making sure we have some gaps as well. And so as we continue to put this thing together, we've got a good running plan and it marries up with the pass game as always. And so it's just good complementary football when we're able to put the ground game together.
A little inside football here. How often on a RPO, like you guys RPO'd him to death early in the game with those screens, do you know generally if it's going to be pulled and thrown or given to you? I'm just curious, like for you, I saw four ineligible man penalties for the Eagles on Monday Night Football last night on those RPOs that Hurts pulled. I get how hard it is for them, but as a back, like what's that play like?
Yeah, I mean, for you, your philosophy is you're running the ball. Like you have to, like you can't be thinking, oh, he's going to pull it, because the fact that if you're thinking of that, and then now what are you not thinking of? Well, where you need to run the ball and how you need to get there. And so you, as a running back, just kind of are locked in on your keys and your reads so that when you does hand the ball, because you're anticipating that you can get through where you need to get through.
So you're not trying to, like, read the same defender that he is, basically, to know.
Heck no, heck no. It's, so for us, we're getting it blind. We don't know. We don't know. We know who he's reading and where they're at. But as far as, you know, if he's going to pull it or not, we don't know that.
Gotcha.
Austin Ekeler with us here on G&D. So, Austin, curious. I mean, obviously you guys are competitors. You want to win the football game. That's duh. That's obvious. That's a given. Just wondering how you're viewing this. So, me as just a pudgy zilch of a fan, I will take 37 minutes of time of possession, 400 plus yards. We already mentioned the rushing stats. No punts. You guys in the red zone six different times versus you guys weren't able to punch it in. A couple different things happened each time. How do you view that offensive performance for you guys? Obviously, the win's the most important thing, but you know, is that hey, it's encouraging, look at all the good, or is it, damn, we left some meat on the bone? How do you view that as a competitor?
There's some good and some bad. There's good that we didn't have to punt and we were able to move the ball and get into scoring position. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Bad because offensively we never scored. And so it's not necessarily like a medium. Like there's good and bad. Like, and you call it how it is and you take it how it is and you learn from it. And for us, yes, we showed signs of being able to consistently move the ball, which is great. We want to build off of that. But what definitely needs to happen is we got to get rid of these red zone penalties that are killing us in the red zone, backing us up, and we got to find a way to get our butts in the end zone. Because you're not going to win many games if you can only make field goals and can't get in the end zone in this league. Every once in a while, you might sneak a win like we did on a field day of field goals, but you don't want to live in that world.
Yeah, no doubt. I think there were 5 false starts in the red zone. Were some of those like out of the huddle late or trying to change a play, or were they all just flinches? Like, was there a theme there at all?
It's all of the above. All of the above. It was loud. It's flinches. It's changing plays. So the great thing for us is it's stuff that we can fix, right? It's not a matter of, you know, someone's not talented enough or anything like that. Like, these are easy penalties that we can easily fix, which by doing some just get on the same page, kind of take an extra period to talk through this in a meeting and things like that, and a walkthrough to say, hey, this is how we're doing in red zone. Everyone lock into this cadence and things like that, you know?
I'm wondering, as someone that's, again, that's been around and seen some things in this league, I wonder if this is just sort of off the top of my head here, Austin. Like, I've seen it occasionally happen. I'm just sort of curious if this is something that you would feel comfortable doing or if it would make sense. Like, if you see something before the quarterback does, right, where you go, hey, what we've got called in your brain, like what we've got called is not going to work because of this. Would you be able to go, hey, Jaden, dude, like, do you see that? Like, look over there. Don't do that. Let's run something else. Or is it just sort of you got to hope he sees it? Like, how would that work?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that during the play. You know, that's gotcha. Something that if he did miss the call, you'd talk about on the sideline. But just we have to know as players, especially the running back, I'm right next to him. He is command and seeing all of this, and so he's putting us on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in every single one of his quarterback meetings, so it might be something that I think because I heard something else, but he might be seeing something else totally different.
Gotcha.
And so there's no chance I'm ever going to be like, hey, Jaden, check it to this, because that's just kind of stepping out of what is on my plate as far as responsibilities. You know, if there's things that I see, where it's like, hey, they're dropping me in the flat, you know, things like that. Like, or hey, if they're bringing down the free safety, I would more so talk to one of our coaches and then get that relayed so that Jaden would know if we need to check out of that and stuff like that. You know?
Austin, there are a few things prettier in football. Like in baseball, the most beautiful thing you could see is like a perfectly executed hit and run, right? In football,
yep.
The perfectly timed and designed screen.
Oh, I get steamed up.
There were 2 awesome designs from Cliff. One was a center screen, it looked like, designed to you maybe, on like that little Texas route where you come back.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You got 2 dudes on the hashes, just walled off, and you kind of like a surfer through a wave, haul ass between both of them. That was awesome. And then the throwback screen that was clearly designed for you as well. I mean, either a thought on both of those is fine, but was one of those better executed, did you think? Did you have a favorite like design that week?
Yeah, funny thing is the throwback wasn't even a screen. That was just a check down. I just happened to be wide open over there. I just got out late.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I was helping chip the end. So, hey, check downs can turn into big plays too. But the screen across the middle, yeah, that was the thing of beauty for sure. And it's so hard. Here's the thing, and all NFL teams go through this. It's so hard to simulate those types of plays in practice. Because you don't know if you're going to get a true rush from the guys from on defense or if they're going to sniff it out right away. So you're kind of just like, all right, let's just go in here and try to make this thing work. And even, you know, some of our O-line were talking about like, yeah, we had no idea how that was going to play out, but it played out perfectly for us. And like you said, it was a thing of beauty getting right down the hashes and picking up a first down on like third and like 15.
Austin, obviously no spoilers here. It's like a super secret embargo of like a movie trailer or something that's coming out. But the more you and Brian Robinson are on the field together, I think the harder it's going to be for defenses. Like, does it feel like there's more in store in that regard, just kind of keeping them on their heels and guessing?
Look, I think Brian and I have done a good job of when we have the ball in our hands, making something happen. And there's only one ball. So whether we're both on the field or not, or if it's him or me, I think it just comes down to, hey, if we can get the ball in our hands, we got to continue to do what we've been doing and building off of what our team has been able to build off of with us in a dynamic way, right? Like continue to find different ways to get the ball, whether it's out wide, whether it's in the screen game, whether it's running off tackle, tosses. I think good things happen as we're on the same page and making plays, and, you know, our team is doing the same around us. So no telling. I have no idea. It comes down to what is our matchup? Who are we playing? Do we match up well? You know, what's going on with potentially injuries and things like that? Mm-hmm. So it's a whole ecosystem, you know, algorithm that these coaches are trying to, you know, find the best way to try to attack.
Ducky Sauce on Twitter, one of our listeners, said, please ask Austin about his winning the Angry Run Award. So NFL Network's Good Morning Football. I didn't see that. Did you win the award for the flying knee today?
Apparently, I won an award for jumping in the air and, you know, trucking a guy in the air and then sticking the landing.
There you go. So you'll get what do they give? They give like a little sword or something?
Yeah, like a mallet or something. I don't know. They get all hyped up for some ball. Hey, it's a cool little segment. I didn't actually know about it until today, but I saw the video that they made, and it seems like they got good energy over there. So I'm thankful for any recognition.
Yeah, it's another trophy for the case, dude.
There it is.
Obviously, like, touchdowns are the best, but what's something like kind of hidden, small? Could be pass pro or something else where, like, in the film room, you and maybe the other running backs are going nuts, like something that we wouldn't notice at home.
Ooh, that we wouldn't notice at home. Because I was going to say, well, touchdowns is obviously a nice one, but I
can notice those.
Yeah, you can notice those, but you can also notice, like making people miss, yep. Like winning one-on-one. That's another one that, like, we're big on. As far as like big in the room, because it depends on who you are too. Pass pro is another big one, right? Just great, solid pass pro. Like that's something that like
the chip where you get a guy off balance and just drill him.
Not even that. It's just like when you just like, you know, stone a guy in the hole, and it's just like that sounded a little weird. But and you're just like sturdy in there, and you're just, you know, boom, you got your job done, and boom, quarterback was able to sit in the pocket. Like that's something that we get excited about. And just, I mean, good fundamentals and runs too. It doesn't have to be like a gash, like, hey, you found the soft spot and then you fell forward for another 2-3 yards dragging somebody. Like that's something that's like nice. Like that's good football right there. Because not every run's gonna be a huge run, but hey, what can you make when it's a little cloudy? So those are a couple.
Just a couple of moments left with our guy Austin Eckler. Once a week joins us here on Grant and Danny, kind enough to do so all season long on The Fan. We will continue to incorporate more and more questions from listeners as we go, too. I know something that you want to do a lot of. Two things. One, what'd you do with the off day today? How'd you spend your Tuesday away from the park?
Yeah, so my off days pretty much consist of all the same things for me, and it's really building all of the ecosystems that I have outside of football. So right now, my app experience is kind of my baby that I'm nurturing and building and putting out into the market. It's a fan engagement platform that helps colleges and professional athletes connect with fans. So that's what I've been doing today. I've had a ton of calls with teams, getting things together. We're really learning from a lot of our processes now. And so that's pretty much it. I went in and got a workout as well, got some treatment. I'm about to go down to Georgetown, actually, with my wife now. Nice. And have dinner with one of her friends. So a good, active, productive off day.
Well done. If you ever need food, Rex, we're your guys. We can't help you with Pass Pro. We will help you
no
with
No workout tips here, but food, we got you.
We got nothing but good advice on that front for you. And then awesome. The other thing I wanted to know was, before we let you go, Monday Night Football, man. Next time we see you, we'll be under the bright lights. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, the whole country watching in Cincinnati. Coming from the AFC, a place you've been to many a time, I'm sure, but is there any added juice? National TV primetime Monday night? What's your thoughts?
I mean, there's definitely some added juice because it's a primetime game, absolutely. But the thing is, we're already maxed out on juice when we go play our game. So this is just another thing to add on top of it, I guess. But in the most part, we're ready to go with every game. So primetime, we'll take it normal kickoff, you know, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock. It doesn't matter. We're ready to go.
Awesome. As always, my friend, we'll talk to you next week, man.
Heck yeah. Looking forward to it, boys. Have a good one.
Thank you,
pal. Got it. Austin Eckler, absolute stud. I wish that 98-yard major tutty would have held up for him.
The hold was away from the play.
It was.
Like, that's a touchdown, dude. Just stand next to the guy.
Jaden Daniels, two games in. How are we feeling? What have we liked so far? What do you guys think so far? We'll get into the quarterback next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We're still learning too. And, you know, Jaden's just going into his second game. We had some ones down the field that we would have liked to have seen him take. Some of the ones even on the scrambles to remain a passer as you're coming closer towards the line of scrimmage to throw it down the field. You're probably referring to some of the RPOs that would have worked in there. One of the things I did like about, you know, the way that we did able to control the possession of the ball, I think there was probably 35 runs and 23 completions. And if you're 55, 56, I think we ended up being like 58, somewhere in that neighborhood, Sam, what then happens is time of possession, you know, now can become a factor, more plays. And so although we missed the mark in the red zone, I was pleased to see us, you know, taking care of the ball.
It is a Tuesday, which means Commanders Survivor. Go to facebook.com/Grant and Danny now to vote. One of the players off the island who still remains, only Emmanuel Forbes sent home in week one. And to give somebody immunity. Brian Robinson was immune this week. He won't need to use it because he was maybe the best player on the team on Sunday, running for 133 yards. But who gets immunity this week? You're going to vote right now, facebook.com/Grant and Danny. I guess it's a decent time, Danny, for you and I to cast our ballots since we have not yet. So first things first, who are you giving immunity to?
Austin Seibert. I mean, it's not something I thought I would be doing, but he made all 7 field goals, and that was instrumental. Those were the points. He accounted for every single one they had. Not any one kick was more difficult maybe than another. 45 yards, I think, was the long for the day. But, you know, that operation, it all takes is one bad plant foot, one push, one overcompensating, whatever. He made all 7 kicks. That's why they won.
Yeah, he is an option, just so people know that the name's still available. Jaden Daniels, Austin Eckler, Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Zach Ertz, Brandon Coleman, Sam Cosmi on offense. And then on defense, the D-tackles, Allen and Payne, the linebackers, Wagner and Luvu, and then in the secondary, Benjamin St. Juste, Quan Martin, and Jeremy Chinn. Because you already took Austin Seibert, and because I think he could need it more than other guys, potentially, mm-hmm. I'll go Benjamin St. Juste. Had the huge
big play
peanut punch takeaway that may have actually saved the game. The Giants were driving with a chance to go up 10. He knocks the ball loose. The Jeremy Chinn recovers, gets the takeaway. He also had a couple of pass breakups in the game as well. So I will go, based primarily on that one big play, but his performance in general, BSJ, I thought, was much better and is deserving of immunity going into a tough matchup. He may need it with Ja'Marr Chase. How about your immunity?
Voting off
the island.
This one is harder. So there's nobody that's, I'm going, oh, what a bum. He played terrible or they're bad or this wasn't good. I mean, a couple nominees. Cosmi had a couple false starts, especially in the red zone. You know, some things weren't great. De'Ami Brown hasn't been productive through a couple games. Terry McLaurin, too much, you know, demanded deposits in the bank for him to get voted off, although he didn't do much this past week.
Brown did have 2 catches and got a big first down in the first drive.
Yeah, I voted for Brandon Coleman to be off. Again, not because he was bad or not, you know, he did something crazy wrong. Didn't play a ton. When he did, I don't think this got counted because there was a penalty on the play, but Thibodeau whooped him, beat him like a drum, drilled Jaden Daniels, ended up being a penalty away from the ball, and they got 5 yards out of it, so it gets lost in the stats. But I voted for him to be off, but again, this wasn't one of those get off my island, Emmanuel Forbes type situations.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go Jeremy Chinn. I thought he missed a handful of tackles.
That's probably a better one, yeah.
And maybe it was like, you know, 3 officially or something, but there were too many times where I saw him, you know, not making a tackle. Not to beat up on him, but like you said, there's nothing overly obvious. There's 3 or 4 guys you could vote off and be fine with it, but it wasn't like last week where there's someone just screaming at you saying, hey, vote me.
Yeah.
I'm probably...
Because like the coaches voted him off too.
No longer worthy of being around in the next week on Commander's Survivor. So the votes are piling up. Darius is going to tabulate them at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. You got about 20 more minutes to vote. I'm sure you saw this, Danny, but I did want to call attention to this. First of all, on the Caps front today for the Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin turned 39 years old. I got in my feels a little bit and sent out a tweet on this today. Alex Ovechkin is entering his 20th season. On the day he was drafted in June of 2004, 20 years ago now, I was weeks away from getting my driver's license. I was 16 years old. I was going into what would have been my junior year of high school, and I was about to get my driver's license. I'm now 36 with 3 kids, living in my second home, and I have white in my beard. He just keeps playing, yeah, and he keeps scoring goals. No athlete in DC sports history, but I would even say in any sport in history, has ever given me more joy than Alex Ovechkin. You know, it's weird for me because the Caps have always been kind of like, even though I cover them on television for Monumental Sports a little bit as a, you know, an analyst, so to speak, or what I consider to be like a fanalist role almost, doing these altcasts. It's not to say I've never had a credential to them or anything, but they've always been the team I'm really a big fan of. I wear the jersey and I go to the games. There's just not a player who's given me more. And when you add up 20 years of memories, Alex Ovechkin, who has changed the landscape of sports in this town more than any other player, I just think we'd be remiss if we didn't say happy birthday.
Yeah.
Number 39 to Alex Ovechkin. I didn't know that him and James Wood, by the way, share a birthday because James Wood's turned 22 today. So happy birthday to James as well. But Ovi getting ready to kick off season number 20. And they made an announcement today on his birthday that the Caps are bringing back the black Screaming Eagle sweater that I love so damn much. They wore them a bunch, that and, you know, the Capitol, but with the black sweater a couple of seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Then they went away from them last year. They're bringing them back for 6 games. which means, more importantly, they'll be back in rotation, being sold, easy to get your hands on. I love that look. I don't know where you're at on the black sweaters. It's been the Rock the Red era for a long time, but they're Ovi's favorite, and they're my favorite.
Do not move me, as you might expect. I mean, to me, that reminds me of Jaromir Jagr and like Adam Oates and Joey Juno and kind of that pre-Ovi failure. That's what that reminds me of, whether that's the exact right era or timeline. It doesn't feel right to me. Like, to me, it's the red. It's that old school red, white, and blue with the kind of the cheesy capital across it. You know, like, that's the thing that I've always fallen in love with. But, yeah, having the occasional alternate jersey is pretty neat. I'm into that.
I know you hate any kind of jersey talk.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just as simple as, I don't care, it's a jersey? Or do you actively not like the look, the
it doesn't,
black look?
It doesn't get to the point of active dislike.
Okay.
Like, but it does remind me of Jaromir Jagr, one of my least favorite athletes of all time. So, like, I when I see that jersey, I picture him, which means I'm not happy. Like, that, you see what I'm saying? Like, I have associations like that where, for example, a lot of people are happy about the gold pants. I think Bruce Allen immediately. Like, it's not voluntary. It's a spasm. I hear gold pants. I hear Bruce patting himself on the back, getting sore from doing all this. Patting his own back, just so excited that he brought the gold pants back. And so they annoy me. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't wear them. I'm just saying that's my association. That's nobody's fault.
Jaden Daniels was rocking gold pants. You like him.
I'd like gold. I like
Maybe you could think Jaden Daniels when you see gold pants.
If you get a few more W's, we could start talking about that.
Let's talk Jaden Daniels and how he's played through two games next on G&D. Top of the hour coming up in 20 minutes. Buy or sell on the 2-0 teams in the NFL. You're listening to The Fan. G&D on the Fan. We're taking you to 6:30. Nats baseball from Citi Field in New York tonight. We'll preview the Nats and the Mets before we get out of here. Coming up in about 30 minutes. Two games in, Jaden Daniels outperforming his rookie peers. We talked earlier about how he has both outrushed and outpassed Caleb Williams and Bo Nix to this point. Ugly start to the season for both of those guys. By the way, are you worried about either of them in the big picture? I was looking at odds of who the next quarterback to be benched is. Neither of them are high on the list, as you'd expect, because it's two games in, you know, a top half of the first round picks. Neither should be benched. I'm not suggesting that's the case. But in Bo Nix's case, at least Zach Wilson is an interesting player behind him on the depth chart, whereas Caleb Williams is going to have a leash longer than the line at the DMV.
Williams not worried. Nix worried. I mean, he's been in college for 7 years or whatever. He's like on his Van Wilder plan. Wasn't special. Hasn't been special. Probably overdrafted by Denver, but Sean Payton thought he saw kind of this Drew Brees 2.0 type deal. I don't see it. I don't know that it's going to happen. I don't think the surroundings are great. I don't think Denver's particularly good. I think that's going to be kind of a mess. So worried about him. Not yet on Williams. I just think there's too much talent there.
So with that in mind, he's been better than those two. Overall, through two games, how do you feel about Jaden Daniels?
Really good. Really good. The gear that, or the thing that he has that not everyone else does. When all hell breaks loose, when it's not good, where, you know, I'm just picking someone that's had a great start. With Derek Carr, who's got a 100 trillion quarterback rating, Derek Carr gets sacked, or Derek Carr has to throw it away. Jaden Daniels picks up 14 because he made people miss and he escaped and stuff. And that elite thing, taking negatives and turning them not only into lesser negatives, but into positives, is incredible. It's the thing I've dreamed about. It's that playmaker gene where you rip somebody's heart out, where you think they're in the grasp. That think of that Carson Wentz moment so many years ago when he's in Philadelphia, where three different defenders have a chance to bring him down. He ducks under them somehow and throws a 70-yard touchdown. You go, oh my God, that was the worst thing that could have happened. A 13-yard loss is now a touchdown and we're boned. That thing that he's got. What needs to grow and is growing is the calm, 72 and sunny, drop back, pat the football, find my receiver, maybe buy a little time, move around a little bit. And you saw that growth in the second half. But overall, his passer numbers, you already mentioned, rank favorably among rookies. He's kind of holding his own with the rest of the NFL. Not among the best of the best by any stretch, and that shouldn't be the expectation. But he's right there in a whole bunch of categories. It's
based on how they're basically teeing things up for him.
Sure.
On what is, you know, a very easy way to kind of pick up yards in the passing game. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that could put up a lot of the numbers that he has as a passer to this point. It hadn't been a lot of high difficulty throws, but no reason to knock that. Here's where I am. I feel really good as well about him as a runner. I knew I would. I feel really good about the offensive development around him. They are great at running the ball because of him. They're getting teams to go 11 on 11. Brian Robinson is better because of him. Austin Ekeler is better because of him. I think their receivers eventually, Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin, the rest of them, are going to be better because of him. As a passer, I can't say I feel really good yet, but I am encouraged. I'll tell you when I felt really good. The second half against the Giants, which is his most recent half. And I hope he builds on that. But I'll save really good as a passer for when they are, you know, score a touchdown. They have scored one in non-garbage time against Tampa Bay. They have moved the ball pretty much at will, to your point, mostly because he's been able to run, and they've been able to run. But when they get their passing offense on track, when they've got receivers catching balls down the field a couple of times in a half, then I'll go really good. When he starts resetting after leaving the pocket and throwing and like makes that leap, then I'll feel really good. But overall, I think I'm excited. I think he's been, as a passer, I'm going to say solid. As a football player and a playmaker overall, he's been good. And he has not been a problem in any way. That's what I'm excited about. He hasn't turned the ball over. He hasn't put it in harm's way. Now, I know if there's somebody sitting there going, well, why would he put it in harm's way? They don't really throw down the field, and he hasn't had to throw to any covered receivers yet. I think there's probably been, I don't know, two or three passes through two games where there's been a defender anywhere near the guy that caught the ball. Like, I get it, but the other guys are throwing picks. They've designed something for him that is safe, that does keep the ball coming out quickly, and I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. So I feel good, man, and I think people should be excited because it could not be going this way. Like, it could be going worse where they didn't have their best half passing the football in their most recent half. But this was always my point, was the floor, because he can run, is just not that low. Like, so far to me, he's been great running the ball. They haven't really done much passing the ball. And it seems like you and a lot of people feel like it's awesome. And that's what you get when you get a great playmaker who runs the football all over the place. I just need to see a little more from the passing game till I'm maybe on that level with you.
Sure. And I totally understand that. I don't hold the he's doing what's asked of him against him, though. And I'm not saying you do necessarily, but it's something where, you know, it's the same argument we have about Brock Purdy and the system and what matters most. Well, what if he's executing what he's asked to do, then that's pretty good, right? We don't want him going
sure,
rogue
but the,
or doing
the
something
The degree
foolish.
Of difficulty on the ask is significant if we're talking about the player. Like, they had a third and goal inside the 10-yard line where they decided to just run it and kick a field goal. I don't know why they did that, but a month from now, when they feel better about the quarterback, they're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
You would hope.
They're going to ask him to fit a ball in a window and make a throw. Like, I agree with you. He's executing the offense well, but my point is I think what they're giving him is very little, which is smart. That's what they should be doing. That's what Kingsbury should be doing. I'm just not throwing a party yet after, you know, almost half of their completions in this last game were behind the line of scrimmage, which I would also call those plays. But it's just a factor in breaking it down is all I'm saying.
No, it totally is. These are all important data points. Just as when you add it all up, again, I think he's holding his own extremely well through two games as a rookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With that's among anybody. There are guys that have absolutely been unbelievable through a couple of weeks that I'm not comparing him to, nor should we. But among kind of where the league is and where it's trended through a couple of weeks in terms of passing totals and yards, and nobody's really heaving it downfield with great aplomb. There's only a couple teams and players that are.
No, but the problem I would just say is, and maybe it'll be different in a month, and if that's the case, then we can reassess. They had a good half of football. There's only been four of those. So the sample size is, like, going into the game, I don't know that you felt that same way about their passing attack. We had a very different conversation all last week. So there was one half that was different than that. And, yeah, it's a small enough sample where now it does feel a little bit different, which is good. But that's just because we've seen the first 6 minutes of the movie, so to speak.
Right. I mean, if his intended air yards are exactly this and all of a sudden business picks up around the league where people start eating up chunks of yards and there's 300-yard passers all over the place again, and we're still doing this, then we go, okay. But right now, this is what's happening in the league.
Well, his completed air yards, though, are second worst in the NFL. Only Caleb Williams is lower. So it's not just the intended for me. On balls they actually complete, out of 30-some quarterbacks in the league, he's been second to last. Now, again, that's not me being discouraged in any way, but it's not like he ranks in the top five in every category. I mean, they're asking a little bit less of him, which they should. We were talking about this earlier. Kingsbury's had a better plan for him and has gotten him off to a better start than the coordinators have for those other two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So, again, I say win, not loss there. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's just worth acknowledging, like, there have not been many, whoa, look at that throw middle of the field between the linebacker and the safety. Like, I still got to wait on some of those. That's all. Are we buying or selling the teams off to 2-0 starts, and are we concerned about any of the teams off to 0-2 starts? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.